Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Thanks for joining us this week. So my motivational quote is by Marcus Aurelius. I think I said that right. And he says, whenever you're about to find fault with someone, ask yourself the following question. What fault of mine most nearly resembles the one I'm about to criticize? So really pay attention to that quote from today. Do you judge those around you? And the answer is yes, we all do, right? So every day, and probably more than we realize, and it's easy to do, we're judging everybody all the time. Well, we are all so perfect, aren't we? We live in our beautiful glass houses. That's why it's okay to judge those around us and how they live their lives, right? My way is certainly the best way, correct? I do hope you all realize I'm so teasing because my way, I know, is not always the right way. Well, today my guest is Dr. Brenda J. Bowers, and Brenda brings over 35 years of healthcare experience to Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare and her broader communities. Her passion and expertise lies in the area of psychology, substance abuse, and professional counseling with the goal of advancing a healthier society through a faith-based and holistic lens. Now, in Brenda's best-selling book, World Changers and Difference Makers, a comprehensive guide to transform your life and mend the world one sphere at a time. Transformative formulas and processes will give you the tools you need to be a world changer and a difference maker for you, your spouse, family, team, business, etc. Ultimately, making a positive impact on the world we live in, 1 second at a time, 1 word at a time, 1 sphere at a time. Please help me welcome my amazing, wonderful guest, Dr. Brenda Bowers, to the show. So, Brenda, thank you for being on.
Oh, Connie, thank you. You are definitely an amazing lady on a phenomenal mission, and you're accomplishing it every second at a time. So thank you. I'm humbled and honored to be able to spend some time with you today.
And I'll tell you, Brenda, I am too, because I am so blessed to have wonderful authors like you, thought leaders from around the world that share their message so that, and my show, you know, Enlightenment of Change, sure, it's about change. We have to change something to hopefully become better, healthier, wiser, whatever it is. But the change element for me is also, even if you don't agree with the conversations, even if my listeners don't agree with us and our conversation, that's okay. You heard the conversation. Maybe it just opened your perspective slightly. And that truly, I think, is what my mission is with this show. So thank you for commenting on that, because I think we don't know what we don't know. So when we hear these different conversations, it helps just advance our perspective, which is a beautiful thing, right? That we have podcasts and we have, you know, you're out in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
I'm in New Jersey, and look, we're having this very cool and amazing ability to have a conversation. So how cool are we, Mama? So first question, Brenda, why did you write the book?
Well, you know, Connie, I probably have, not unlike most of us, lived my life with books inside, right? We have all these great books, just like you were saying. We're perfect. We got it all. If people could only read what's inside of us, the world would be fixed. We would solve world peace, world hunger, and everything else. Well, I found out that having that information kept inside of us and locked and only shared with small groups of individuals, that it really wasn't enough to create change. As you said, that your whole platform. How do we get people, one, enlightened about change being a good thing? So I wrote this book because for 15 years I was at the same organization. The organization was acquired, and at that time there were some of us that were pretty much told we would continue doing what we were doing because it was advancing the company. But you know how acquisitions go. It wasn't long after that I then found out that there was a specific group of executives that were being let go, and I was among them. So I thought, and the organization that this company acquired that I was from, they were so excited about the work they had me doing for, at that time, the past 8 years. They were ecstatic that it was going to continue so that part of their mission would continue. Well, it didn't. And during the time after me and the handful of others lost their executive positions, truly, I did not know what to do. I had my job down pat. I did executive coaching for all of the presidents of every hospital and the physicians, and I did physician collaborations, and I trained physicians and nurses to get along to create better quality outcomes that could be proven empirically, and I functioned in the area of diversity and inclusion. So I was just getting a very conservative company to a place where they would see everyone as valuable. So those things were still in me. I had a good process in place, and I thought, you know what? During this time that I had a very strict geographical severance agreement that I couldn't go beyond, so I couldn't work in my local area. I couldn't even work in my regional area. So for that year, I thought, put your words in a book. So I took a year and I wrote this book really from the platform of, you don't have to be an executive. You don't have to be a CEO. You don't have to be a president or a physician. Where I got my greatest joy was when I was able to sit down and talk to the environmental services person who was cleaning the rooms, the person who was scheduling the appointments. That's where I really wanted the change to happen, but I really didn't have access to them because my job was an executive role. So then for me, I wrote the book, one, to get it out of the pie in the sky.
Yeah.
And bring these key change elements into anybody's living room, into anybody's heart, because we all need to be transformed. We need to know who we are so that we can transform. So that was the impetus of me writing the book.
It's so cool. I'm cracking up because almost 20 years ago, same situation, I was with a company. And they, you know, merged, and the footprint of, I was a sales representative, there were too many of us. So they said, well, we know what we have. We don't know what's over there. We're getting rid of you. But before that happens, I remember coming, I did not want to work for this organization because, as you're describing, this is going to be great. We could continue. They were a horrendous organization from a customer service standpoint. So I remember coming home. Now I had babies at home. I had a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old, right? Mortgage. We need my income. And I said to my husband, yeah, I don't want to work for them. I want to get fired. And he laughed and he goes, okay, what do you want to do? And he's like, I want to open my own business. And he was like, okay, what do you want to do? But it's like you, I had a 13-month package. So because I was a senior vice president with the company 13 years, so I had a 13-month package, which was nice. So change sometimes is thrust upon us, not by choice, but look at how you can transform and actually end up doing what you probably were supposed to be doing in the first place. Had that not happened, I probably would be an executive in a similar organization somewhere, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. This is better for me, right? What you're doing is probably so much better for you. So I want to take a step back. What is self-awareness? Because you talk a lot about that in the book, but what is it?
Yes, I do. And self-awareness is when we come to terms with understanding who we are, what we are, why we are, and how we are. When we really know what that is, and we allow that space to be so dynamic that it can change by the second.
Yeah.
So great awareness is when we are able to not only know who we are, how we are, what we are, why we are, but it's also our ability to adapt based on what's not only thrust upon us, but what's inside of us. All of the witty, creative things that we keep dormant because they go against a company's mission or because they're different than what somebody else would say. And I am really all about, don't align yourself with people that agree with your opinion, But align yourself with people that agree with your values.
Absolutely.
Because then you can really grow and become more aware of yourself, because your ear then will be open to hear and your heart receptive to receive things that you might not even know about yourself. I believe, Connie, that most of us are not self-aware. And the first question that I ask before I even start talking about relationships and how you have a relationship with yourself, one of the first things I ask individuals is, do you like you? And if you don't, why do you think someone else should?
That's a big one. it's a great question. I want to take a step back with the value, having my own business and you know, now have working with clients and stuff. I have walked, people laugh at me when I say this, because I'm not independently wealthy here, right? You know, two kids in college, the whole thing, right? You want to retire someday, have a mortgage, just like everybody else, right? I'm not anything special, but I've had meetings with clients that I've come home and said to my husband, I'm not doing business with them. And, you know, sometimes he's taken back, not anymore, but initially. And I said, I didn't like the CEO. I didn't like their value. I didn't like how they were treating their employees. How could I get up and teach someone and advocate for a company that I don't believe in? And my one company, Brent, I've been with next year, I think it's going to be 16 years, right? Knock on wood. But new management has come through and they've each seen the value in me, but I've seen the value in them and how I can support them. And it really does go down to the values. I love my clients. I love being with them. I love helping them create their vision. And I know in corporate America, we're not supposed to use the word love. I truly love my clients. I care about them as an organization, certainly, but I care about every one of the individuals within the organization. So the values, I love how you said that, because if the value isn't a match, it's going to be a very, very, it's not going to be a harmonious relationship. It's going to be, oh, I got to do that today. Oh, I got to talk to him today. And I truly never, ever feel that way with my clients. I am blessed beyond belief because people find me that should be working or that I should be working with them. So I'm very, very blessed. I want to, another thing you speak about, and I just want to understand it myself, and I think it will help the listeners, Brenda, is you speak about authorial presence. What is it, and how do you obtain it? Because I love that phraseology. So can you explain that to everybody?
I sure can. So the self-awareness piece, just like the story that you just shared, how more aware did you become of yourself during that process of having to tell a client, no, we're not a good match, especially when the mortgage, the children, the car notes are all saying, oh, yeah, you love them. They are a great organization to work with, lady. Haven't you looked at your bill list lately?
It's true.
But there was a part of you where you had to be true to you. So that's an indication of you being aware of yourself, not just your company, because you could have said yes to your company doing business, but there was something in Connie that said, no, this isn't a good match. So when we get that level of self-awareness, then I'm able to talk to people about, I'm an expert of teasing out what's already in you. I'd give zero credit to placing anything into anyone. I believe your greatness lies within, and society, family, relationships, none of them have fully allowed us to be who we are. So I work on being aware of yourself and then having a relationship with yourself. So you have to, I'm going to use the bad four-letter word too, love yourself. Mm-hmm. And you have to love yourself more than anything or anyone. And then you can have love for others. So another thing we don't do, who taught us to love ourselves? Most of us aren't taught that. We're taught to serve. We're taught to come full and leave empty. Well, I believe that we come full and we stay full because we teach others how to fill up along the way. And the key of doing this is authorial presence. I love authorial presence probably almost more than any of the spheres in my model, because authorial presence is you never surrendering the pen of the authorship of your presence. Never let anyone else write the story of how you show up.
I love it.
Keep that pen in your hand. You are the author of how you show up. You are the author of how you choose to react to anything that happens. And as long as you keep that pen of authorship in your hand and not give it to anyone else, then you are already starting strides above most of the world. What better world we would be if people took authorship of their presence?
And you know what? You know, Brenda, what I think is so cool about that, just what you, how you explain that, right? And don't give up that pen. Don't give up that power to create or write your story, because tomorrow's unwritten, right? We truly don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. I can impact that if I choose. So I think that's people right. are so quick to give up their power because my boss is making me do that. I have a mortgage. I have a sick child at home. I have to do that. And I think we get so caught up in that that we don't take that step back to say, well, wait a minute, am I happy? And the other thing I think, Brenda, too, is the happier we are, and happier, I guess, happiness isn't something that is given you. Happiness for me, let me explain it my way. Happiness for me is living just a joyous life, right? Bringing people into my life that add value. Not that they're doing something for me, but somebody like you, where you're brilliant and this conversation is so, to me, stimulating and engaging. It makes my day. My energy goes up. My creativity goes up. Not that I had you on the show to have value in my life. I want to bring this value to my listeners, right? I'm always trying to pay it forward. So that joy, I'm happy. Right now, I'm happy. So it's not an event, right? I think it's how we live our lives. But I think we're very quick to give up authority or that authorship, right? Mm-hmm. That power that every one of us has and should own, and we don't. And it's really kind of sad. So now I want to take another step back. So you said it has to start with a better relationship with ourselves. So how do you, if you've never been taught to love yourself, I know a lot of people don't have self-respect for themselves. Right. I was taught those things. Like my father never spoke to my mother in a harsh manner, right? He never spoke to us. Yeah, we were reprimanded. Don't get me wrong. You know, we weren't angels. You know, I have a little devil in me.
Yeah.
But it was always with the vein of, Here's you know what went wrong, but it was a level of respect. So we were taught to respect ourselves and not have anyone take ownership of us, right? So how do you teach someone how to have a better relationship with themselves?
And isn't that tough when you have been raised differently? Because I was raised similar to you, and I was raised in a yes ma'am, no ma'am, yes sir, no sir environment, but I never felt that it was disrespectful, and I always knew that my parents wanted what was best for us, and they basically told us, you're not better than anyone else.
Absolutely.
You don't deserve anything more than anyone else, but you can be whatever you want to be, and that can be as big as you make it. And I often reflect on those parental nuggets of wisdom, mm-hmm. and one of the key things that my parents were very different on, my dad taught us self-preservation as the first law of nature, mm-hmm. and our mom taught us selflessness mm-hmm. as the first law of giving. Mm-hmm. So we were raised in this space where our mother told us, give, 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 and our father told us, you better make sure you have so you can take care of you and yours.
Sure.
Well, what I learned, really not until after losing my job, how both of them were right. How it is not a mutually exclusive situation. So when I contend with people, and the pause is because I'm really happy right now too. I'm happy whenever I get to share with other people. You've given me so much energy. So one of the things in my self-awareness that I'm doing during this time right now, I'll reveal, I'm saying, okay, Brenda, be an active listener. You're having so much joy and excitement. You want to jump right in there. So manage who you are. You know you need to manage yourself. So I'm doing that right now. And when people don't value themselves, have been disrespected, have been in abusive relationships. Sure. And I really start with this question of write down 10 words that would describe why you should be alive. Why should you be alive? Write down 10 words. And our premise is that you should be because you are.
Yeah.
I don't want you to go backwards and say, well, I wish I wasn't. It'd be better off if I weren't. No, because you're alive right now, I want you to write down 10 words that say, this is why. This is why I'm alive right now. This is why I should be alive. Now, most of them say, well, I'm alive because of my children, because of my bills, because, and I can take any of those. Okay, so how can we now help you feel better about yourself when you're interacting with your children? Do you want your children to have low self-esteem? Of course not. Well, did you ever think that the best way to give them high self-esteem is for you to have high self-esteem? And I ask people, I said, I don't ever want you to contract with me. I want you to give yourself permission to learn you. Yeah. I just want you to give yourself permission. Just give yourself permission to really know who you are, to decide that wherever you go, you're going to be there. So you can move wherever you want to on the planet. And when you get there, you're going to be there.
And so, how empowering that you're teaching people that, because I don't think it's intuitive for everybody. And mm-hmm. I do believe how we're raised impacts that. And, you know, my mom and dad said the similar things to yours. Be anything you want to be, just be the best, right? And you're not better than anybody, but no one's better than you, right? So it's this whole respect others as well as respecting yourselves, which is wonderful. So, but some people listening, Brenda, are saying, well, I wasn't raised that way. So I love that. Make a list of why you should be alive today, and think about the gifts that you bring to the table. You know, maybe you have a great sense of humor, and when someone's down, you make them smile. That's a beautiful gift. Everybody can't do that. Or maybe you intuitively know when someone's upset, nobody else is paying attention, but you can zero in on the person who's in pain, and you are able to lend a ear, and that brings them peace. Yeah, I don't know. Everybody has a gift, and I think we have to acknowledge that within ourselves. Now, what another more phraseology from the book that I'd like you to teach the listeners. So what are organism knowledge and essential expertise, and why are they necessary? You spoke about the fears. Why are they why are they important in the spheres of life, and how is that described in your book? That would be helpful too.
Great. So I think if we think about our life almost like an egg, if we want it to be that fragile, or like a jawbreaker that has different colors the more you lick on it, you know, when and you're trying to get to the center. So whether you're feeling jawbreaker rock solid, or if you're feeling as fragile as an egg, it doesn't matter, because they both represent a spherical concept. So what's closest to the middle, again, is us being aware of ourselves. Once we're aware of ourselves, we can start having a relationship with ourselves. Now that we're starting to relate to ourselves better, we can know that every time we walk in a room or into a conversation, we don't put our pin in the giving basket. We keep it. We keep it no matter the room we walk in, no matter how intimidating it is, no matter how abusive it is, no matter how threatening it is, and no matter how welcoming it is, no matter how fun it is, no matter how joyous it is. Never, ever, ever give anyone the pin to your life. That is your presence. The reason that we can show up 100% when we may have left home feeling like, what in the world happened this day? But by the time we get to a client, the reason we're able to give them our best self is because we've kept that pin that says, Connie, when you show up, you're going to show up like whatever you've written. Brenda, when you show up, we write it in our souls. We write it in our minds. We write it in our hearts, and we write how we're going to show up, so that the energy that people get from us is based on that commitment of presence that we've made to ourselves. So then a lot of places we work with are organizations, and they live as organizations, but organizations have a life cycle. And that life cycle really does end. And you and I have lived watching organizations' life cycles end. Sure. And then when the rebirth comes, we have this thought that it's going to be like the last organizational personality.
Sure.
And then it's not. That's why I encourage people to learn organism knowledge, because we are organisms. We're not organizations. We are living beings, and we are dynamic. We change. We morph. So when we go into a structured organization, the best thing we can do is remember we're an organism, and any knowledge that we learn, that we give, that we share, that we take in is from a platform of I am a living organism. And all I can do is bring life to this situation, and all I'm going to allow this situation to give to me is life. Otherwise, we're owned by organizations all the time, whether it's the organization of family, the organization of organizations we belong to, churches, or our own relationships with our spouses. We end up becoming captive because we buy into the organization of that structure. My posture is that you're an organism. You're always changing. And because you're always changing and you're gaining knowledge, guess what else is happening? You're becoming an expert. And now, depending on where you want to be placed in life, there's some essential expertise that you're able to grasp because you know you're a living organism and you can change. And a key to that is you alluded to it without even knowing this being one of my key foundations is I tell people, what's your tagline? Because you need to have one. And I describe taglines as your talents, your abilities, and your gifts. So just like you've written those 10 words down of why you should live, we can advance over time to you having a tagline so that every time you show up, you know those three tags. You know your talent, your ability, and your gift that you're bringing to that situation. And they're different for different situations. But an organism can morph and have those essential expertise show up when you know, and you know that you know that you know. Your taglines. You know what your talents are. You know what your abilities are. You know what your gifts are. Unfortunately, when we give up that pen of authorship, we surrender our tag. So I say, build your taglines, wear them around your neck, just like if you're a frontline soldier, but never, ever, ever give up your tags, but you have to know what they are.
And it's so funny. I do this exercise. My background is sales, service coaching, right? But dealing in organizations, but sales really is my expertise, dealing with customers, right? So I do this one exercise when I'm training in organizations, and it's their value statement. So when you're in front of the customer, what value are you going to bring to me? Otherwise, why should I do business with you, right? So because if no matter what organization you work for, if it's healthcare, there's another healthcare organization, another doctor, a bank, I could go to another bank, if you whatever, it doesn't matter the industry. Why should I deal with you, the person, and this organization? So I make them do a value statement. And I can't tell you the number of times that people sit there, and I walk over and I say, you know, what's going on? I don't see you writing anything. And they look at me and they go, I have no idea what value I bring. And I always stop when I see that. And I say, you know what's sad? This is one of the hardest exercises we do. You're allowed to brag. I'm giving you the okay to say, I'm really a good listener and I really care about people. Yeah, I know we're an organization. What if I come and I sit in front of you at your desk or your space or we Skype or whatever it is, what do I get? And they look at you and they go, oh, I am a good listener. Oh, I speak multiple languages. Oh, and then all of a sudden, we are taught, Brenda, to not brag about ourselves because that's braggadocious and arrogant and obnoxious. No, it's not. Not if you do it in a respectful manner, right, and in a kind manner. So that is so hard. What you just described, what's so great about me, right? Why should I be alive? And then what's my tagline? What are my gifts that I bring? People have a really, really hard time of doing that because we're taught to put ourselves down before somebody else does. Oh, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not good enough. I'm too tall. I'm not tall enough, right? We have these record players that go on and on and on, and we all have them, right? We all have them.
We all have them. And we all either walk on eggshells or we live these jawbreaker lives that can't be penetrated. And that's why I say it doesn't matter. Let's all be eggshells today. Because guess what that outer layer is? That's your essential expertise. And the only way we got to the shell is because of the yolk. Because at the yolk level, you decided who you are. You became aware of yourself. And then the white around the yolk said, and guess what? You're having a relationship with me. We're inside of this shell and we're having a relationship. And then that thin layer that lives between the shell, the yolk and the white, that is when we end up being able to have our authorship on that. So before they crack this shell, I have this. I already know what they're going to get.
Yep.
They're looking at getting scrambled eggs with no whites or over easy. But let me tell you, I know what they're going to get because I know what my talents are and I'm not ashamed of them. And if I don't get a job, it's okay because that's organizational. It doesn't matter if I get a job at an organism level. Here are the things that they're missing out by not having me. And here are the things that the next organism gives me an opportunity are going to receive. So I believe in engaging in organizations that recognize that they're truly organisms.
And do you find, Brenda, that, you know, in your travels and different people you're dealing with, don't you find that more of the leaders in organizations are becoming aware of the need, and I'm going to use the word authenticity, and I think it's overused, so I like your word, that authorship, that are really about empowering their employees, empowering their teams, empowering their executive, you know, to run their divisions and have cross-pollination so we don't have these silos. I think we're getting there. We still have a long, long way to go, but I definitely see a shift. Do you find that to be the case?
I do find that to be the case. And what I've also found is where that gem lies is in our ability to stop blaming it on the millennials. We generationally blame,
absolutely.
Oh, they want to come in and change everything. Or maybe we could say silencers, boomers, Xers. Guess what we've done? We've done such a good job of teaching those who are coming after us and those who still stand on our shoulders that they don't have to take what we took, that it doesn't take a year, it can take a day. And when they challenge us around that, they're challenging us around excellence. They're not saying, let's do this and be the worst company around. They're saying, listen, why wait 10 years to be the best company? We can do this in a week. Put us in a war room, give us your values, give us your strategic plan, and we'll come back with something that's tactical, that's actionable. Yeah. But that's very scary. That's scary because then it feels like those of us who have been here longer are not, you mean we could have done what took us 10 years in 10 minutes? Then instead of us embracing, again, that's part of giving up authorship. Now we just gave a generation the power to tell us what we weren't instead of us blending and supporting, undergirding them so that we can say, wow, have we done a good job? Because in a day and time where we have up to five generations in the same company, of course they're not going to see how you get to the solution the same way. But what they can do is align around values. They understand talents, gifts, and abilities. They understand why we should live, why we should continue. So if we can keep that purpose as a positive, then I think we could really excel even faster in this time where people are saying, let's be excellent, let's be the best. And hey, let's do that by giving workers more flexibility. Let's try having people work from home and see what happens. And every research shows that if you allow people to work from home, that they're more productive. And on top of that, if you have them come in the office and they work 4 days a week versus five, they're more productive. Yeah. So we don't have to be how we were in order to be the best that we're going to be, but we have to be willing to hear that multi-generational voice.
I love it, too. And I love that we have the four or five generations now working side by side. Think of the innovative ideas. Think of the wisdom. Think of the fresh ideas, the courage that the millennials have that maybe the boomers, you know, myself included, don't have. So, yeah, the innovation, I think, becomes exponential. We are out of time, my friend, but I do want to let every... Oh, gosh, we could keep going. You kidding? Everyone, if you have questions for Brenda, I'm going to give you her email, but her website is www.aword4u.com. So it's AWORD4U.com. And I will post that on the web talk radio platform, my platform for the Enlightenment of Change. If you'd like to email Brenda with questions or ideas, go to drbjbowers@gmail.com. And again, if you're interested in learning more, I love the title, by the way, Brenda, World Changers and Difference Makers. I hope you all want to be world changers and different makers. I know I do. And then it's a comprehensive guide to transform your life and mend the world one sphere at a time. And I do think our world needs mending. So, again, thank you for writing the book. Thank you for being on the show, for sharing your wonderful, again, wisdom, right, from so many so many years that we've worked. We have all of this wisdom packed in our brains that we love to share. And I love that authorship, that author presence.
Yep, authorial presence.
Authorial presence. I just love, I'm going to start using that phraseology. I'm going to say, my good friend Brenda said. So I give credit where credit's
due. Good thing, Connie.
I love it.
I want to thank you for having this platform, because it's a platform that I too have wanted to have, and in us having it closed, and I could talk to you forever. My book is a comprehensive guide, because it really does take facilitation and coaching. It takes people like you and me to help really talk about what these different things mean. And I want people to continue to use your great services and to continue to listen to what you're doing, because I'm actually in a restart place. I had a very serious health issue unexpected in March of this year, and I have been hospitalized every month except November. So I'm excited. I've had over 10 surgeries and over 15 different procedures, all because one day I was walking up my stairs and my sigmoid colon decided to flip and tie and rupture. And I was on life support for a long time. And let me tell you, it was right at a time when I had gotten this great contract. So I was telling my husband, because I'm similar to you, Connie, you know, got all this stuff. Listen, I'm not fiscally solvent. Wish that I was, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I had to, for 2019, I've had to turn down so many opportunities that would have put me in a better fiscal place. But I am proud to say that even in my sickest of intensive care unit days, I said in my own self, Brenda, do not give up the authorship of your presence.
Absolutely.
You know who you are. Hang on. Be here. So even before I can go out and drive, I've had an opportunity to sit here and talk to you. You have been a world changer and a difference maker for me.
Aww.
I am going to continue and not just throw the business away because of a hard year. I'm recovering. I've had to write down why I should be alive, because there were many days that I didn't think I should. But it's because of people like you who are committed world changers and difference makers, who we're synergistic with. So I really want to give hats off to you. And I want to say to you, audience, follow this great woman, because she's doing things that you need to know about.
Oh, you're a love. And I'm glad that I'm one of your first shows coming back after publishing the book and then having the health issues. And now I am honored to be like your little debut here.
Thank you.
And just so you know, Brenda, my listeners know that follow, I post everything on the Web Talk Radio Enlightenment of Change website, so they really will be able to find you, whether it's email or website, so they could get a whole bunch more information, buy the book, and all those things.
Sure. They can find me on Facebook, Instagram,
yeah,
Twitter.
All of that. So, yes, sure. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for being on, just for being a lovely guest, sharing your, holding that pen. That's such a great, I'm a visual learner. So that idea of I'm not giving up my pen is just a beautiful thing. So thank you so much, for being on. And you guys, thanks for joining us today. And I hope you will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change you're going through, we've got this. We, my guests like Brenda, myself, we're providing those resources for you to help you navigate, because I know change is a really scary thing. Let's take it by the, you know, the bull by the horns and make it what we want it to be. Create the change you want in yourself, no matter the situation that's thrust upon you. Thank you all for listening. Brenda, thank you so much for being on. A true delight. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all an inspired week. What is your pen going to write for your next chapter? Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.